Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's time to gather around the water cooler to talk the SNL Hall of Fame. Hey, it's JD here, and welcome back to the Hall of Fame, the SNL Hall of Fame, as it were. I'm walking in the front door right now, smiling, and I will tell you what, I have a great, great day planned. I'm going to meet Matt Ardill. Hey, Matt, how's it going? A little later to talk about some trivia and some future guests. And now I'm heading to the lunchroom where I'm going to meet my friends Joe and Shari around the water cooler. Joe, how are you doing this week?
I am good. I think we could say this. I think it's worth mentioning. As we're recording it, today is the day of the 50th anniversary, the special. So happy 50th, everyone. So raise a glass to that. Shari, how are you?
Oh my God. I am glugging. I'm glugging the water and I'm freaking out. I apologize if I'm like off the rails today. I am like really, I'm too excited. I'm like, I cannot wait. The concert, we'll talk about it later, but that already got me hyped up.
Yeah.
That was last Friday as we're recording this. And now tonight, and I'm going to be on my couch for 6 hours. And I'm super, super pumped. So, yes, I'm here at the water cooler. I'm ready to dish. Glug, glug.
Well, this week's episode on Monday featured Darren Patterson, and he was nominating Jack Black into the Hall of Fame. And it's funny, guys, because I love Jack Black. I think he's great. You know, I have huge regrets of not seeing him live when I lived in LA, back in the early 2000s, and loved him since then, loved him since the HBO show. And I got to tell you, I didn't remember his turns on SNL, and I certainly didn't remember them being as flippin' good as they are. So let's get into this. And Shari, why don't you break down Monday's episode and then we can dig in a little deeper.
Okay, JD, I'm going to try to be calm and give a very eloquent summary, but bear with me. I could stumble because I am so like hyper and distracted. So apologies to our listeners if I do. It was an excellent, excellent episode as always. The fabulous Bill Kenny, who will be, I'm sure, is vibrating right now too and super excited like me. I've been chatting with him on and off, and I know he's really excited. But he's such a great conversationalist. And another person I know is going to be super charged right now is Darren Patterson, who I've also fortunately been able to communicate back and forth with because I'm a huge fan of his and John Trumbull's podcast, The SNL Nerds. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. It's so much fun. It's so funny, and they give you so much great information about the show weekly. Super great. So I knew this was going to be a great episode. And Darren and Bill, JD, I'm right with you. I did not remember the three episodes that well. So it was great for them to break it down sketch by sketch by sketch, character by character. They hit all the highlights from Samaro's to Spelling Bee and all these things that I had forgotten all about. And they also discussed his career before he got on SNL. And that was at the height of Jack Blackdom. I mean, he was mega hot when he got his first hosting gig. And they broke that down as well. And of course, they talked about his rare gift as an actor and a musician. There's not That's a right. lot of actor musicians like Jack Black of his caliber. There's some musician actors like Justin Timberlake and Ariana Grande, but not a lot the other way. So Jack Black is very special. And they, Darren and Bill, did as always. I've come to expect a lot from both of them. And they didn't disappoint. They were just both fantastic. It was a really terrific episode. If you haven't listened to it, give it a listen.
Yeah, I would say if you're a tangential fan of Jack Black, it's a must. It's a must listen because it does go through, you know, not just his SNL career, and then that coupled with Matt's trivia off the top, you just get a really holistic view of this wonderful, you know, this wonderful actor. Joe, I'm curious if you have a another Hall of Famer in mind when you think of Jack Black potentially cracking the 66% and getting into the Hall.
Okay. I was looking at the list, and obviously it's you can't compare him to a writer. You can't compare him to maybe a cast member, you know. So I just immediately kind of went to other Hall of Fame hosts, and when I saw this person, I'm like, yes, it's Christopher Walken. And my favorite things about Jack Black are the favorite things about when Christopher Walken hosts, which are they bring their personality to the show. It's not, and they don't take over the show. It's not the Christopher Walken or it's not the Jack Black show. But what I mean is when they come out, they do their monologue, which is, and I mean their monologue. It's not like any other monologue. It's not the question answer one. It's not the, you know, I think Jack Black did a behind the scenes one, but it's a Jack Black behind the scenes or Christopher Walken. He did one where he danced throughout the studio. So it is like, this is their version of the cliche, you know, or whatever. Like, so they bring their person, you know, because when you do the monologue, you have to introduce yourself to the audience. Like, so they know who you are so that it contrasts to the rest of the show when you're playing all the different characters. Even if Christopher Walken's a dramatic actor, kind of the complete opposite of Jack Black, Christopher Walken brings his personality to the show with, you know, cowbell and continental and, you know, there's googly eyes, you know, and then, but either way, it feels...
Mentor interview.
Yeah, yes. And, but yeah, Jack Black brings, and it, like, I also like it when hosts bring a song. Taylor Swift did this, where they write a, like, almost like, you can tell they wrote their own song for the monologue. It doesn't feel like an SNL written. It feels like a very personal, you know, written monologue. And Jack Black did that, I believe, all three times. And the last thing I'll say is, I remember back in 2005, it was 2004. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I found, I air quotes, found online, wink, all these MP3s of SNL sketches, and I made like a 90-minute CD. And I was a security guard at the time, and I would listen to it, and it was like a best of episode of what I could find. Either way, the point is, for the monologue, I put Jack Black's King Kong song. And until recently, I kind of forgot it, but when I heard the first two, like, lines, it immediately all came back. And to me, that's a very Jack Black thing. Like, his King Kong was like kind of outside his forte. It's like, he's known for silly pot comedies. Cause I think around the same time he did the Tenacious D movie. And then he's in Peter Jackson's King Kong. And then for him to come out and kind of satirize that, where he does a Tenacious D King Kong song. And it's like, yeah, that's something like, and that reminds me of when Walken would dance on his monologue. But, yeah, so that's why I chose Walken, for who I thought would be similar, is someone that brings their personality to the show.
I like that. I like that. I hadn't considered Christopher Walken, but I like that you tied it to the personality. And Shari, how about you?
This was hard because Jack is so unique in that he's got that musical piece that I don't feel like any of the other hosts in the Hall of Fame have. And all the other hosts have been on many, at least two more times than him. So that sort of makes it hard to compare. But the one I thought of, even though he doesn't have the musical piece, is John Goodman. I feel like they're both boy next door-ish guy, or man next door-ish, guy next door-ish, whatever word you choose to use. They've got that like, aw shucks, sense of humor. Because I know that Bill and Darren both mentioned that about Jack, like having this like relatable quality. And I think John Goodman has that in spades. He's so relatable. And he's just like, you know, you could see yourself having dinner with either of them. They just seem like really nice, laid back sorts. So yeah, John Goodman is my pick. He's like the closest in humor style.
It's a tough exercise. Week over week, this is the toughest. Like I sort of play along as well. Maybe I should start naming mine as well. But I try and guess what you guys are gonna think of, and I didn't have either. I didn't have one. It just seemed too difficult. The musical piece to me, the physicality. He's so physical. He's, you know, Belushi and Farley rolled into one with this musicality, this, you know, and this heavy metal sense of humor, you know. Just great stuff. Let's listen to Darren's closing argument at this point, and then we'll come back and we will see what you think of the closing argument and if you have anything that you want to discuss about it.
So, Darren, here's the point. You got to make your case, make your final case for Jack Black in the SNL Hall of Fame as a host.
Okay. Hey guys, Jack Black, the host. I mean, he was such a dynamic performer in so many sketches that we've mentioned in this episode. He was perfect mix of both Belushi and Mr. Farley. Yes, like his first episode was good, but like I think he only got better throughout the other episodes. And the last one, of course, as I've said before, is like he just knocked it out the park. He was able to show some range. He's able to play straight man. He's able to be the over-the-top, you know, crazy guy if needed. So I think he's definitely due for maybe another return, definitely to be in the SNL Hall of Fame, if not just for the sole fact that he was in one of arguably the best episodes of in SNL history with his last one with the Neil Young episode he was in. So, yes, I mean, Jack Black, cultural icon, just singing sensation, comedic stalwart. I proclaim he doth belong in the SNL Hall of Fame. I thank you.
Shari.
Yes.
The fact that he hasn't been on five times, does that hurt his case?
Yeah, he hasn't been on in a long time. And some dirt's kind of come out about him. I don't know if we want to go into that here, but...
Well, it's not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's come out too. And I think that might affect how people feel about him. It hasn't been many places, but I think I heard it on one of my SNL podcasts. Anyways, that aside, I like Jack Black, but I don't know that I put him in my top. And even though I know I get the unlimited this time and that I'm probably going to check off just about everybody, he is one of the few that I'm not quite quite there. Bill and Darren made really good arguments, but I'm not quite there. I don't think he's the best of the best of the hosts that are on the ballot, but there's some really good folks there. In fact, one of them is on the ballot, and I was going to say that he is the one I was going to choose for the question about who on the ballot that hasn't gotten in yet does he compare to? And that would be Martin Short, because Martin is very musical.
Yes.
Martin is very musical.
Yeah.
And he's a great host. And I'm definitely going to vote for him because he's been on so many times and he's cameoed so many times. Jack's done a few cameos, but not a lot. I'm just not quite there yet, but he's certainly talented. And I just watched that episode where he did the King Kong monologue. It is an all-time great episode. So Darren makes excellent, excellent points, as does Bill.
Joe, what do you think? Is Jack Black an all-timer, like Darren said, as he went through his bona fides? Is he somebody that is a slam dunk, or where do you have him, Joe?
Not a slam dunk. Here's the thing. I could honestly say if his career went differently, he would have been a great cast member. And, you know, that's what made him a great host. Yeah. You know, like, he has all these different abilities. I could imagine him doing Tenacious D songs on Weekend Update and, you know, stuff like that. Okay. But maybe his personality would have shined through too much, you know, so maybe it would have been, because I know Jim Carrey didn't get hired because he wouldn't have blended as well. So maybe that type of thing would have happened. So I can't see him immediately saying, "Ooh, Jack Black's on the list." Yeah, absolutely. But he does deserve to be mentioned. Also, he was also one of those people kind of like, where he was also a host and another time he was a musical guest, where as Tenacious D, when Matthew Broderick hosted, which is a big cable guy connection, Jim Carrey, Matthew Broderick, Tenacious D. But I can't see people immediately going to his name and saying, or, you know, thinking SNL, Jack Black, SNL. You know, there's a bunch of people ahead of him. However, the stuff that he did is remarkable. He did, you know, his own personality. He blended in the lover sketch. And then I also want to mention this in my notes is Jason Sudeikis said this multiple times where that King Kong, I call it the King Kong episode. That was the first episode where his cast came together. And that had two a-holes buying a Christmas tree. I believe it had Spelling Bee. Right. You know, and Jack Black weaves in and out, and I feel like that's a good episode for him, where he's playing a straight man to the two a-holes, and then in Spelling Bee, he's kind of tacked on. It's Tenacious D tacked on to the, but it works. You know, it works as a funny button, because as great as Spelling Bee is, it doesn't really have an ending, so it's kind of like Jack Black, Tenacious D to the rescue. And, you know, that shows what a great host he is. And then, yeah, he was also a musical guest. He, Tenacious D showed up on Weekend Update. So he, when it was his turn to shine in the early 2000s, he brought it.
Yeah, the host category is not as loose as the cast member category. But if you look at the caliber of people that are in there, they are truly, you know, best of the best of the best. It's truly representative of what the Hall of Fame can be, I think, you know, when we dreamed this up 7 years ago. So there's that. So this past Friday night was something really special, and it happened at Radio City Music Hall. And I thought it was even more special when Jimmy Fallon came out and made mention of the fact that everybody in the audience was part of SNL in some way, shape, or form. And to know that our friend John was there taking pictures on Instagram just warmed my heart. That was so freaking cool, man. When you think about the people that were there and he was amongst them. And it was a special, special, special night. I didn't know what to expect when they said a concert. But what we got was something that was just wonderful. And Chari, you have been biting your tongue so hard this whole time, there's blood pouring from your mouth. So we'll let you go first. You can get your hands out from under your bum now, and you can explode and tell us how great that episode was, dude.
Oh my gosh. I loved it so much. I've been a fan since, I don't know, since I was like 9 or 10. And every one of these artists, music is like a time machine, as the great Eminem says in one of his songs. It can take you right back to memories in your head. And every one of those artists, even the ones I didn't like as well, took me to a place in time. And it was just magical. I know I am like every corny verse is coming out of my mouth, but it was magical. It was so magical. And I loved every minute of it. And I have to thank my husband for putting up with me this entire week because I've been nutty. I've been so nutty. And he's been so awesome and sweet and like very tolerant. So yeah, everything hit for me. There were no misses. It was a beautiful night. It was a night to acknowledge so many people, not just in front of the camera, but all of the work that goes on behind the camera. And just incredible. And to think that John and James were there. I mean, I was thinking of them the whole time. Like, I bet they were just flicking their little phones like crazy. And that's what I would have been doing.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm not a phone person. Like, I don't take pictures, but I would be doing that. And, thanks to them so much for everything they posted on Instagram. I've been having a ball looking at all the pictures. So yes, very, very exciting night.
Absolutely. Joe, what did you think?
So like you said, JD, going in, I didn't know what to expect, you know, like musical homecoming. Like that's not a phrase that's typically done. If it was just SNL concert or SNL 50th anniversary musical concert, that would have been more accurate, but like homecoming, you know, that just kind of, but with that set aside, they got the best host for it, which is Jimmy Fallon. He's a, you know, probably the biggest, you know, SNL nerd, you know, and then, you know, the opening up with the Blues Brothers. At first I was like, what is this? Cause that doesn't fit the Blues Brothers motif. But with that set aside, after that, it just went from, in my heart, 0 to 100, where I'm like, oh, then when I saw it was going to be a concert, you know, and they had Miley Cyrus and Eddie Vedder and stuff like this. And then shout out to the Roots for being so adaptable, you know, because they performed with a lot of different bands and a lot of different genres. And then after that, I'm like, oh, that's what this is. Oh, then I love it then, you know, and then. Like, even the genres that I'm not usually into, I was into it because of why they were there, to, like, celebrate Saturday Night Live. And it felt like, because it wasn't just, you know, musical guests. They also had, you know, Bill Murray and, you know, doing Nick Valentine. They had, you know, Will and Anna doing Bobby and Maury Culp, which got a big hit on Instagram. If you look on it, you'll see a joke that went viral. And then, yeah, they went in and out. And then even Andy Samberg did a tribute to his digital shorts. So it's like, it's a tribute to Saturday Night Live, like a little preview, hopefully, for the 50th anniversary. And then just a flat-out concert. And what I loved about it, it felt like musicians, and then in parentheses, and Hollywood, were just having fun. Like, hey, we're all in the same town together at the same time. Let's do something. You know, we got, you know, and it felt like, yeah, we got Eddie Vedder and Cher and Miley Cyrus and Devo. Like, you know, like, how often can you see Eddie Vedder and Devo in the same concert? You know, so it just.
But they've all been in 8-8.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, so yeah, to celebrate this great institution show, and then Miley was saying, you know, this is for you, Lorne, and for Eddie Vedder to give tribute to the performers that passed away. So he left off a couple people, you know, I mean, like, if you're going to do one, do all. And, you know, because he left off, like, Denitra Vance and John Lovitz. And I guess General Parisimo is still dead. So he left him out. And, but either way, it was a great pre-tribute. It's a good pre-game. And then and another thing I want to mention at the very end, to bring it back to the podcast, is before I started doing this, I didn't really have that much, you know, I don't know, I don't want to say the word respect, but I didn't really care much about the musical part of Saturday Night Live. It's usually when I go to the bathroom and I get ready for Weekend Update and stuff like that. But because of JD, because of the SNL documentary, and because of the concert, it really made me appreciate the musical part a whole lot more. And it's basically, and that's another like eighth or whatever of the show. So it's like, hey, guess what? You know, this podcast made me appreciate Saturday Night Live an eighth more. So, but yeah, it was a great, fun concert.
I loved, you know, the fact that you said they were just having fun. There was no politics. Mm-mm. There was no, like, it was just, you could take your brain out for a couple minutes and just, or that part of your brain out, you know, and just unplug and just enjoy yourself. And there's so little right now that you can do that with. So kudos to Lorne Michaels and kudos to everybody involved in putting that together. But there's more to come. Joe, what are you looking forward to? Again, we are recording this on a Sunday, and tonight is the actual 50th anniversary. You're hearing this on Friday. It's already happened for you listening to it, but we're getting ready for it. So, Joe, what specifically are you looking forward to tonight?
I'm looking forward to is, you know, seeing old sketches, like they're just doing reoccurring sketch after reoccurring sketch. You know, it's almost like seeing old friends, in this big reunion, and just seeing basically all of Hollywood, because all of Hollywood owes a thanks to Saturday Night Live. Like, I can't imagine any animated movie, any Pixar movie, any most, you know, because most Marvel movies are, you know, have original hosts in them, maybe not cast members, but everyone who is a part of anything mainstream Hollywood right now has gone through 8H as a host or cast member in some form. Like, even that show Severance. Like, because if you take a Marvel movie and Severance, and it's like, what do they have in common? Severance, I think, has a connection with Ben Stiller. And then, like, Marvel movies, you know, Chris Hemsworth hosted a bunch of times and is really great. Scarlett Johansson, she's married to Colin Jost. So, yeah, just to see, like, the entertainment, you know, industry pay tribute to one specific show, you know, is what I'm looking forward to.
Shari, what are you most looking forward to tonight?
Oh my gosh. I'm really just looking forward to seeing a lot of cast members from throughout my watching. I've been watching, like I said, since I was about 10. I don't know, what was that? 85, maybe? Yeah, 85. I started watching I was in high school in 85. I'm bad with math. Anyways, I was really, really young when I first started watching, and I want to see all of the cast because I forget people. And I want to see people I forgot. And everybody's there because there are people that were only on one season. During the 40th, fun fact, I learned this, I think, from Bill Kenny, they didn't invite people on who were on only a season. You had to be on at least three or four. This time, everybody got an invite. Everybody got an invite. Hmm. And it's so cool to see people like Denny Dillon, who I barely knew. But then I got to hear a great interview on the SNN, and I think she's super cool. Yep. And it's so cool to see her there, and she looks so happy to be there. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is just seeing all of these people get acknowledged. You know, I'm a big Jay Farrow fan. I don't think he gets enough love. He's going to be, at the very least, in the audience, probably panned to and making all kinds of great faces. So I'm super excited. I'm just so excited to see everyone that shows up. I'm excited to see crew get some acknowledgement, maybe see some of the some of the costumes and wigs. Maybe they'll do a little segment on that. I just love it all. I just can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. It's going to be just a real treat. I remember the first one that I saw that I burned out the tape for was the 15th. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely burned out the tape watching that. And it was small potatoes compared to what we're dealing with now. Like you say, everybody got an invite. And I just wanted to make an analogy sort of with Jay Farrow. I feel like if this show goes on for another 50 years, we're going to look back in this specific era and we're going to, like in baseball, there's the dead ball era where, you know, pitchers just owned batters and nobody was able to bat barely. No home runs, no nothing. In this era of SNL, I would call it the large cast.
Yes.
People get lost in that large cast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People that have been on the shows, like Heidi Gardner has been on the show for, 8 years? Like, it feels like she just came out.
Especially her.
In the last 3 years. You know, like, she's an integral part of the show. I firmly agree. But only for the last, you know, two or three years, I would say, in my opinion,
no,
the last
right.
2 or 3 years.
You're totally right, because there were some big personalities.
Kate, Cecily,
80, that triumvirate, not taken away from their talent at all.
No.
But yeah, look at all the errors. You're absolutely right, JD. And Jay was one of those who got overshadowed. Just like the Eddie Murphy era. A lot of talent there. A lot of them that are still alive are at the special, because I saw photos on Instagram. Thank you, Saturday Night Network. So there are a lot of people there that were only in there one season. And I'm so glad they're getting their credit, because they matter. They matter. They're part of the tapestry.
Yeah. Yeah. I love
especially
it.
In that early 80s era, like those people, because I keep saying this, SNL probably could, in a parallel universe, it would have made sense to cancel it after that fifth year, after Lorne Michaels left. Cause you know, just like Monty Python, Kids in the Hall, Mr. Show, every other sketch show is about 5 years, you know? And then, you know, the show was gutted, you know, and then it's like SNL in name only. And then the fact that they were able to keep it alive, you know, during that first, and that's the first pull, you know, because obviously this is like the first 5 years. Hey, look at this cool thing. And then it could have went away. And, it, you know, and then, but for the people that you said, you know, Piscopo, Murphy, Denny Dillon, Joe Rizzuto, there's so many people in that, Tim Kazurinsky, I Married a Monkey. I mean, they kept it going until Martin Short, Jim Belushi, you know, and then that kind of carried it to the weird year. And then Lorne Michaels was like, you know, brought it, you know, and said, hey, give me one more. Dana Carvey showed up. Rest is history. There was another dip in the 20th year, but they were able to survive that because it's probably, you know, been so long and Mad TV is not really a threat. But either way, you know, the early 80s, the first time it took a hit, you know, those people deserve a thank you, you know. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. That's why it has its own wing in the Hall of Fame.
You know what? I'd be for it. So.
Well, folks, I want to thank you guys for sharing your thoughts on this stuff. And hopefully we use the chat tonight as we're watching. Mm-hmm. I'll be on, because I'll be watching right from here, like I said, at my computer. So I'll be on chat. And if I'm able to stay up late enough, I'll be on the Hot Take Show too. Like, not on it, but in the chat. So I hope to see you guys there as well. And I hope that everybody who's listening was there and really enjoyed the heck out of the SNL 50th anniversary celebration. I hope you enjoyed the heck out of this episode. And I hope you enjoyed the heck out of Monday's Jack Black episode. And I really hope you enjoy the heck out of this coming Monday's episode that is going to be nominating the band Aerosmith. And nominating Aerosmith is our good pal, Chief Conversationalist Emeritus, Thomas Senna. So he'll be back in the hall, and that is wonderful news. I'm looking forward to giving that a listen. Looking forward to having you two break it down like you do every week around the water cooler. That's what we got for you this week. Thanks so much, and stay thirsty. Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler. To connect with Joe and Shari, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/SNLHOF. To email the cast, write to snlhofwc@gmail.com. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tuvra. Podcasts and such.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.